When a child is in pain, a parent will do whatever it takes to make that pain go away. It might be a bowl of chicken soup for a bad cold, or a lullaby to help them get to sleep. In some cases, it might take a trip to the doctor to get to the root of the problem. But what plagued Anna Eklund needed more than soup or singing to cure. It required a priest, and more than a little faith. Anna's real name was believed to have been Emma Schmidt, but had been changed to Anna Eklund to protect her identity. She was one of 9 children born to German immigrant parents in Marathon, Wisconsin, on March 23rd of 1882. Anna had a rough and tragic childhood. She was mostly raised by her alcoholic and abusive father after her mother died when she was young, and he turned their home into a revolving door of random women, providing Anna and her siblings with a less than stable home life. She was raised Catholic, like her mother, despite her father's staunch anti-Catholic stance. She was a fixture within her church and attended regularly. But in 1896, when she was only 14 years old, Anna started exhibiting some strange symptoms. Every time she stepped into church, her brain was flooded with sudden, violent, intrusive thoughts. For example, she would be overcome with the urge to destroy the holy water fonts and attack the priests. And taking communion triggered an equally horrific reaction, in that it caused Anna to vomit uncontrollably. Anna didn't know what caused it all. All she knew was that she couldn't set foot in church anymore, and she struggled with these strange symptoms throughout her teen years and into early adulthood. Then, around the age of 30, Anna's family, with assistance from the church, stepped in to find a solution. They believed that she was possessed, and they brought in an exorcism expert named Father Theophilus Riesinger to help. Riesinger hailed from Germany and had been a member of a Franciscan order of Capuchin monks. He was the one who performed the first exorcism on Anna, and although his methods are mostly unknown today, whatever he did worked, at least for a while. Anna tried to get back to a normal life following the ordeal, but soon enough she was faced with the same problems as before, and now they were even worse. Anna Eklund had become host to not just one demon, but several. Among them, according to her, were Judas Iscariot, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and even her late father Jacob and her aunt Mina. When Mina was alive, she had been Jacob's mistress and had a reputation around town for being a witch. It was widely believed that Mina had put cursed herbs in Anna's food and caused her terrible symptoms. And Anna believed it too. In fact, she insisted that the abuse that she suffered under Mina and her father had caused her condition, and that even after the two of them had died, their spirits continued to plague her. In 1928, years after her first exorcism, it became clear that Anna was due for a booster. Father Riesinger returned, and with him he brought Father Joseph Steger, a priest from Iowa. The two men decided that it would be best to conduct the ritual in private, so Steger suggested they perform it at a small convent in Erling, Iowa, away from prying eyes, but in the company of nuns who could provide assistance. And so, on August 18th, Anna was brought to Iowa, where Father Riesinger and Father Steger began the procedure. According to witnesses, the demons inside Anna's body put up quite a fight. She allegedly levitated off the bed, demonstrated clairvoyance, hung from the doorframe with unimaginable strength, and contorted her body into impossible formations. She also spoke in tongues, vomited tobacco leaves, and burst into violent rage when given food that had been sprinkled with holy water. When she wasn't hissing and screaming, though, the priests attempted to communicate with the demons inside her. Some people believe this possession would lead to the arrival of the Antichrist. One of the demons even threatened Father Steger directly. A few days after that threat was issued, he crashed his car into a bridge, narrowly escaping with his life. But this exorcism was not like the ones in the movies. It wasn't over in a few hours or even a day or two. No, this purge was conducted over the course of 3 week-long sessions in August, September, and December. Some of the nuns were so shaken afterward, they asked to be transferred to other convents. Finally, after the last session in mid-December of 1928, Anna collapsed on the bed in a fit of convulsion, screaming the names of her demons in distorted voices. The last voice, though, was hers, and it cried, "Praise be Jesus Christ." With that final utterance, she was free. The demons had been vanquished. Anna led a quiet life after that. It was said that she was only plagued by minor, manageable possessions in later years, if such things could exist. She died on July 23rd of 1941. And although she died relatively young, Anna Eklund had survived more in her short 59 years on Earth than most people do in their entire life. Lore Bites are a perk offered to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes each Wednesday morning. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, with research by Jenna Rose Nethercott and writing by Harry Marks, and music by Chad Lawson. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.